This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Got Brett Boone in studio. Final hour of Ben and Woods here. And Brett brought up during the break the Mets-Braves series, which now they're separated by just a game after the Braves won last night. So today, Chris Sale is supposed to be on the mound, the ace, the Cy Young favorite in the National League. They may or may not get that game in. They got that hurricane bearing down on the southeastern United States. So they could get both of these games washed out and have to play like a doubleheader on Monday, going right into a wild card series on Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
Or here's the worst scenario for the Mets. They play today, lose to Sale. Tomorrow gets washed out. Wait until Monday. They're going to have to face Sale again in a one-game makeup game on Monday and have to face the ace twice in a row for a playoff spot on the line, potentially.
Hold on. All right, so today is Wednesday.
Right.
So they would
Thursday gets rained out, and Sale could pitch on regular
Friday,
rest
Saturday,
on Monday
Sunday
for like playoffs on the line. Two in a row against the Mets.
Gets you twice.
Oh, yeah, but then there's that added. Can you do it?
Can you do it twice? We just saw it. We just saw you.
That's an interesting race, that National League. I mean, the fact that the Mets are in is unbelievable. Arizona has been so good in the second half, probably only second to the Padres.
Yeah.
And now they're in. As of today, they're in.
Are they today?
Barely. I mean, they're half game in. Well, or Atlanta's a half game out. I'd rather be them than Atlanta.
Yeah.
But it's coming down to the wire.
It's
but,
so much fun.
Of course, the Diamondbacks just lost two to the Giants. They got to play one more today. And then they got to play the Padres, who could be playing for nothing, or they could be needing to sweep to win the division. That is a huge difference. The Padres
Massive.
Could either be resting guys and setting up the rotation. Hey, we got the wild card locked up, but we lost one of these games to the Dodgers, so we're not going to win the division. Or the Padres could be going, hey, let's win these last three and take the next week off. And the Braves or the Diamondbacks are going, we got the Padres motivated coming in here for three.
Trying to win the West.
What is it? They sweep. Let's say if they sweep the Dodgers,
yes.
Then they have to just match them.
Match them the last
over the weekend.
Three. Yeah. Dodgers in Coors Field, Padres right. in Arizona. But you right. don't have to beat them. You just have to match them. Dodgers take two out of three. You take two out of three.
How would you have hit if you played at Coors Field the whole time, your whole career?
Better.
Yeah.
Of course, Field was, you always knew there's hits everywhere there.
Just salivating. And the outfield's so big, too. It's not just home
right.
runs.
Everybody like thinks about it as the home run. Well, yeah, if you get it up, that ball keeps going. If you've ever played golf there,
you
hit your wedge about 165. It just keeps going and going. But it's not. That's not where the huge advantage is. The advantage is the sinkers don't sink as much. The breaking balls aren't as sharp. And everything falls in because it's so vast in the outfield.
Huge.
So all your little duck snorts, they're all falling in for base hits. And then, like I said, if you get one up, that ball just keeps going. So there's really not a disadvantage. The only disadvantage is hitting a triple because you'll be out of breath.
Out of breath.
At that altitude. So you've got to train, and you can't train for it. You got to get there a couple weeks early and start, you know, running the hills just to be ready for that trip. So just hit a double and don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
The worst I ever saw, I mean, one of the worst I ever saw was this year in St. Louis when the guys were playing in St. Louis and you're watching the games on television. It's 101 and with humidity, it feels like 119. Dylan Cease walks from the dugout to the mound and he's just drenched in sweat, and you're looking going, they're in the middle of 18 games in 18 days, playing in St. Louis humidity, and I just thought to myself, that looks like being a big leaguer would be the greatest, except for that right there. That would suck.
I'll tell you this. when I was a young player, I played in Cincinnati. And it was that old, you know, back then, everybody had that turf. You know, you go to Pittsburgh, you go to Philly, you go to Montreal. It's all that hard, old, hot turf. St. Louis had turf. But, you know, I never remember complaining about the heat. Because I was young and didn't care, and yeah. I just wanted to play baseball. You know when I started complaining? It was like
31, 32.
Yeah, yeah. I'd go to Arlington, and I wouldn't come out of the of the locker room until game time.
Yeah, no.
I'd do all my work underneath.
Underneath.
Because now I was an old man, and I was grumpy, and things mattered.
I grew up there, and I didn't care.
And when I was young and just hungry and just wanting to play, I don't remember ever being too hot in Cincinnati. I remember putting my feet in buckets because it was so hot on the turf that the plastic on the bottom of my spikes would melt in between innings. And I was in ice buckets in between innings, and we all were. By the time we get to the on-deck circle, we get out of the ice bucket, it had dried off, and we were fine. But I don't remember going, how am I going to play another day?
Through this? Yeah.
But later in my career, I remember Arlington vividly. Like, I'm getting older and snobbier, and now I'm worried about the heat. So
it was a dump.
Look at those players.
Arlington Stadium was a dump.
And the guys that are probably under 32, they could care less.
Jackson Merrill didn't care.
Right. Yeah. They think it's a nice, cool walk.
Yeah.
It's a cool day. But those guys that are like 36, 37, they're like, dude, it's too hot. I can't play.
I'm not doing this.
It's just like us as adults.
Oh, yeah.
You play in that era where there were still some really bad stadiums.
Horrible.
Now, they're all pretty nice in their own ways, except for one. And I'll tell you what, I'd play there every day.
I wore that place out.
Coliseum?
I loved it.
Last 2 days of Oakland A's baseball at the Coliseum. And you played. I mean, it wasn't when
I
you
saw
played.
Fans
it wasn't
unscrewing
quite as bad.
Chairs yeah. and walking
they're
away.
Taking,
with them.
I mean, they're not done yet. They've done
two
games
more games.
Yet. They're taking signs. They're taking chairs. They're just ripping that place apart. Now that's a weird stadium too, like Coors Field. They got all that foul territory still. It's not like you know, the fans are close up to the action like they are so many of the modern ballparks. But you liked that place.
I loved hitting there.
Where'd you hate hitting? Here.
Oh. Well, my favorites were Yankee Stadium, Wrigley. I loved Anaheim Stadium. Is my favorite. I loved Seattle. You know, I loved hitting there. Places I didn't like, Camden Yards. And
really?
It was a hitter's paradise back then. And they didn't have very good teams. And I'd go there and I'd be like, I didn't hit that great in Kansas City. Old Milwaukee, I loved. New Milwaukee, not so much.
Yeah.
Astrodome, but the new stadium, tremendous. So it's almost like a golf shot. It's how it sets up to your eye.
Yeah,
you ever get
for
on
sure.
You ever put your ball on the ground and go, I'm going to hit a good tee ball.
Yeah.
And then certain holes, you're going, man, hopefully I find this ball. There's nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
That's the same when it comes to stadiums. It's where your eye sets up. Do you see the ball good in certain places? Sometimes it's just, I knew when I came to Anaheim, it didn't matter where I was, how I was playing.
How many beers you had the night before.
I knew I was coming out of there in a 3-game series with 6 hits.
That's amazing.
And it's just something that there's no rhyme or reason. It's like facing certain pitchers. Certain pitchers, it doesn't matter how I feel, I'm just going to come out of there at worst 1-for-3 with a walk. And other guys, no matter how good I saw it coming in, it looked like a beach ball, and I knew it was going to be 50-50 where I could squeak out a hit, and I see it big. So there's no rhyme or reason. It's just baseball.
Feelings, guts, all of that. Yeah, you can't quantify any of that either, which is tough.
To your point, Ben, I think it's kind of a sad day because it's the Oakland A's.
Very
it always
sad.
Has been. It's an iconic organization, an iconic franchise. And the fact that we possibly in a couple years are going to not be – they're not going to be from the Bay Area. I know they're going to Sacramento. That's going to see what they can do with that minor league park. That's going to be, you know, especially for opponents coming in. It's like, really, we're going to be the L.A. Dodgers going to this minor AAA park, even though they're probably going to make it really nice. It's probably going to be the nicest AAA park in America. But it's still a AAA ballpark.
Yeah.
They got to get it up to specs so everybody's
it's like
happy.
The Dallas Cowboys playing the Chargers when they were playing in that little soccer stadium for a couple of years.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know why. I remember in the early 2000s when we had a pretty good rival with the Oakland A's at that time. They were talking about a new stadium there.
Yeah.
It's 20 years later. We still don't have anything resolved. Yep. I think the Oakland A's should stay in the Bay Area. I don't know how logistically that works out.
By
I don't
selling
know the business
the team.
Side of it.
Yeah, selling the team.
Yeah, it could be done. They just need to sell the team. He's not going to do it. He won't do it.
I don't think they're going to be the Vegas A's. I don't. I know there's going to be a stadium there. I think it's going to be an expansion team. But I'm still not sold that they're going to be the Vegas A's. I just don't think something's going to work out in the next 2 years.
You end up getting stuck
with that Sacramento situation.
I don't want to say stuck in Sacramento, but it's certainly if you had your eyes on that prize of Las Vegas and it untapped everything, and then it doesn't end up working, and you end up in Sacramento as the Sacramento A's. That's tough. That's not what John Fisher wants at all. I mean, it'll be, and
I have no backstory to it. I have no knowledge of anything. I can't put it in my brain that it's going to be the Las Vegas A's.
I know.
It's weird.
It is hard. It's hard to wrap my head around as well.
Wanted to ask you about the Rowdy Tellez story. You hadn't heard this, but we mentioned it during the break. So the Pittsburgh Pirates. Rowdy Tellez, who had been a fan favorite, was four plate appearances away from hitting a contract incentive worth $200,000. And the Pirates DFA'd him yesterday.
Yeah.
And they said, no, this is just, you know, the business of baseball. You know, it has nothing to do with his contract status. Well, if that's true, then it should. It should. I mean, you can't. What's your opinion of an organization that's going to do that to a player? Does that affect, like, your thoughts of ever signing with a team like that?
I think in the short term, it'll be a story. Players will take notice of something like that. But I also think with the day and age of, you know, there's a lot of service time manipulation going on in the game. I think this will probably be a grievance. His agent will probably take it, and this will probably be heard. And I don't know whether he'll come out victorious or not. It's just not a good look. Especially, it's not a $10 million bonus.
Right, right.
And I don't want to discount $200,000 not being that big of a deal, but $200,000 in Major League Baseball money is not a big deal.
No, it's not.
So I just don't think it's a real great look. And like I said, it'll probably be a grievance. His agent will probably file a grievance, and it'll be heard, and he'll either win or he won't. But it's just not a good look. And yeah, players do. I don't think this is going to be the main thing on players' minds because the numbers aren't big. But I think it's definitely going to be noted.
Yeah, it's something that doesn't need to happen. You know, it's something that should never get public, right? Right. It's something you can even say to him, Rowdy, you're 4AB short. I'm going to stroke you a check, send you on your way. And that's never going to get reported. And,
right.
And, you know, you can do that. But Bob Nutting has proven over and over. And it's funny because I do feel like if you're a player on the fringes and you need a gig and Pittsburgh's hiring, you jump. You take it because you could be Brent Honeywell, who started the season on the Pirates, and now he's pitching in a big game for the Dodgers last night. I mean, you take that gig to get the next gig, which, you know, if you're any good, they're going to move you. You know, but if you're Paul Skeens, if you're Jared Jones, if you're guys like that are Cabrian Hayes, who signed an extension, you're like, man,
how about this with the Skeens situation? Look at the year that he's had.
Yeah,
I think his ERA snuck under two.
Yeah, 1.99.
Okay, obviously he in spring training he proved to everybody was ready. He was ready to be the opening day starter for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but they kept him down.
Of course, they
why?
Did.
Okay, now he comes back, and now for a minute there, Pittsburgh was in the wild card.
They were, yeah.
And then you start to hear, well, what if he had Skeens for the first 6-8 weeks of the season? Maybe that's another 4 or 5 wins. Now you're really in a wild card race. So little things like that, although not headlines, they're noted.
Yeah, 100%. And he would know. Brett Boone would know.
He would know. Brett Boone, thank you so much for coming in studio.
It's
I don't know
always
if you want to stick
pleasure.
Around, you can, but we do have. I want to play those calls again. Everyone's been dying to hear the triple play calls.
Yeah, let's reset it all, baby.
So we're going to reset it all from last night, clinching the playoffs. We got more audio from some of the Padres, and we're going to play a little take on Woods. So a lot to get to. Final 45 minutes of Ben and Woods still ahead.
Thanks, Booney.
We'll come back after we check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And again, thanks to Brett Boone for coming in studio today.
Thanks, guys.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Our thanks again to Brett Boone. Spent more than an hour in studio with us. Always fantastic,
dude. All day
stories and insight from Booney. We want to get back all the way to the beginning of the show, though. Obviously, the triple play to clinch the playoffs is a once, probably in a lifetime occurrence.
I fully agree with you there, man. Don't go expecting this every time.
Not just the Padres. Right. And you're just not going to see a triple play to end a game to clinch a playoff spot. It's just too
never
rare.
Happened.
I mean, they happen just three or four times a season. And usually, I mean, they're not usually to end a game, and there's only one game that clinches the playoffs. Just mathematically, it's just almost impossible for that to happen.
Is it weird that the Tier 1 baseball team also turned a triple play to end a game this season, and the San Diego Padres did the same thing last night?
Super weird.
Started by yours truly.
Ended by
Pauly. I mean,
Yours wasn't a ground ball, though, was it?
No, it was a line drive.
That's a more common triple play.
Yeah.
The ground ball triple play, with the forces around the horn is... That is really rare in Major League Baseball.
Well, yeah, in adult league, nobody even makes that throw to second, and probably trip over the bag at third. You know what I mean? Like it. But how? I've never been a part of one in my whole life, and then to be a part of one, and then to see one to get you to the postseason is truly bananas. What has happened this year, and I couldn't be more happy with the way that ended last night with Shohei standing there on deck waiting for his chance to, let's be honest, probably win that game for the LA Dodgers and rip our souls from our bodies.
And I really thought maybe the best call of Jesse Agler's tenure as Padres play-by-play announcer.
I couldn't agree more.
With the excitement and the emotion and getting everything in there. If you missed it, here was Jesse Agler, nobody out. Two on in the ninth inning. Padres leading 4-2.
Nothing and one. Swinging away. Ground ball to Machado. He hits third. That's one. Goes to second in time. On to first. A triple play. A triple play. And the ball game is over. The Padres clinch a postseason berth on a 5-4-3 triple play.
I've watched it, you guys. I don't know how many of the views what the views are now for it, but I've watched it 75 times, and just the turnaround, the step, the throw, the feed to Crony with such good hands, and it got him by. The one I was worried about was the play at second. And listen, I saw people.
My man was blowing a bubble too.
It was blowing a bubble
in the triple play,
and I saw people going, "Oh, freaking Roberts challenging!" I go, "I would have challenged it too. I had a challenge.
Game's over
to
if you don't.
Game's over if you don't.
Yeah, you got to.
But it was I panicked." When they challenged it, because I thought, oh, Crony didn't get him at second. He got him. I mean, it was just as bad. I'm sure as MLB wanted to overturn that and let Shohei hit there, it was not going to happen. They got everybody by a step. It was truly, truly remarkable.
And that's the play. Yeah, you watch enough baseball. It's the one where you always think when he's sliding in that, oh, he got there first. And always they get the force, because you can't overslide the bag because they can tag you out, unlike first base.
They always get
that. They have to slow down just a little bit to slide, and it always gives the defender that
just
hair that they need to get that force at second base.
And then the play at first, not even close. I mean, you got him by a full step.
That was Jesse Agler. We played it in our 6 o'clock hour, though, right before the triple play. If you were listening to the broadcast, here's what Jesse said.
And you gotta figure, or at least wonder, is the plan then for Suarez to not get the opportunity to face Shohei Ohtani? Best case scenario, obviously, would be Miguel Rojas somehow hits into a triple play. But that's probably asking for a bit much.
It wasn't.
You know what actually surprised me? I was waiting for Mudd to throw that out. Hey, triple play here would be nice. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The guy is the king of calling for the double play all season long.
Every time about, just get within double slam range.
Every time. Like, Mudd, come on.
He has, like, right there on the first stat on his sheet, how many double plays has every opponent rolled into?
Yes.
Max Muncy, you know, has only rolled into one double play all year. That's incredible. He's got that right there. Now he's going to have to call for the triple play every time there's two on and nobody out. Don, if you missed his call, if you were listening on the radio, if you didn't hear it on TV, I don't know who in San Diego that might be, but he had a terrific call as well.
Rojas on the ground at third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out at first. Oh, my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. Will this finally be the year for the faithful?
Oh, my God, man. Did you hear Mudd in the background?
Yeah. Was he there, or he already gone downstairs?
No, that's him. Okay. Listen.
Touches third, fires to second. Out at first.
Was that him?
Diddy or something?
Touches third, fires to second. Out at first.
Oh, Diddy. Like, Diddy?
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
it's
not Diddy.
Block.
Not.
Did.
Not Diddy.
He.
Like, you know.
Do Diddy?
No. Like, Diddy. Diddy parties?
Oh, no.
Not that. Diddy.
No.
Which
did,
you told us off the air.
He.
You told us off the air yesterday that. You know, if you had been invited to a Diddy party, you most certainly would have gone. Remember that?
Well, I mean, you know, free baby oil, so.
Free.
Complimentary, I guess, is about it.
That's why you would have gone. Somebody lube me up here, please. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
All right, we also had the... We also have the Dodgers perspective of this one. This was Joe Davis on Dodgers television.
He also was talking before that play.
He was.
He did.
And at this point, it's not a question of will Ohtani get a chance.
Isn't it?
What's going to be on his plate when he gets up there?
Nothing. Jack. Squat. Nothing is on his plate. Nothing.
He was not expecting a triple play.
Impossible.
Oh, sorry.
Smoke to third. Machado steps on the bag. They go all the way around and turn a triple play to end the game. Impossible.
That Grover called
incredible.
That's a Grover.
And it's down to two in the National League West.
That's right.
Damn right it is.
That's why you play the games.
All right, let's move on to our Spanish language friends, Eduardo Ortega's version of the triple play.
Queda atrás, Choli segunda, lanzamiento, rola por tercera, Machado toma, pisa, uno, a segunda, dos, a primera, triple play, se acabó el juego, que cierre, peliculesco, los Padres están en playoff con tres outs en la novena.
God bless, man.
Triple play triple and playoff, play. I got the two English words in there.
Triple play!
God, that's so good.
And then the big surprise, we were all expecting the most over-the-top version of this call from the Korean language broadcasters who have been just insane on the walk-off calls all year long, and we're just not quite sure what happened here, whether they were just too flabbergasted to give it their all. You know, they didn't get geared up for it because they weren't expecting it. But
I feel like they were playing Wordle against each other in the booth, and they're like, oh, wow.
They looked up.
Surprisingly muted.
I guess Mudd had gone down. Don had said Mudd has gone down to the clubhouse. And so I don't know what that was in the background. Somebody yelling, Diddy.
Did he get him out at second?
Yeah, did he?
Did he or didn't he?
Yeah.
Rojas on the ground at third. Machado touches third. Fires to second. Out at first.
Maybe it was Don.
Oh, Diddy.
Yeah, Don is quick. Just goated for all those calls, though. Just so good.
It's a triple play.
Man.
All right, we're running out of time for everything, so we are going to postpone and just bang take on Woods for today.
Bang it.
We are going to give away, though, some La Mesa Oktoberfest tickets right now. If you want to call and win, fourth caller at 833-288-0973 wins a pair of Hof Brauhaus VIP tickets to the La Mesa Oktoberfest. These are for October 6th, the VIP tickets. The La Mesa Oktoberfest returns October 4th through 6th. Kids and dog activities, beer gardens, VIP tickets available for purchase. Visit LaMesaOktoberfest.org for details. Fourth caller, 833-288-0973. Giveaways brought to you by Valvoline. Instant oil change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com.
Sorry, I was just watching it again.
Oh, you just excited.
That's why I just double cheered
again. All right, let's, when we come back, don't forget, we'll kiss the rally roach and get you ready for game two of the series against the Dodgers.
Donde está el rocho?
Did Brett Boone leave with the roach?
No,
okay. We've got it.
He's right here.
We will kiss him. And we will get you ready for game two of the series coming up next here. Hear a little bit from last night's winning pitcher as well, Michael King, on 97.3 The Fan.
It's chapstick.
It's moist.
It's just chapstick.
It's all greasy now. It is.
All right. We have another 7-10 start today. And as we mentioned earlier, while we don't love the late starts, probably a good thing for the Padres today that they get to sleep as late as they want. I'd imagine a few of them are probably still crashed at the team hotel and got a late wake up call, and you don't have to head to the ballpark until 2-3 in the afternoon. So
sleep till noon.
Go ahead and sleep, hydrate, have some coffee, and get back at it today.
Poop.
We will preview game two of the series right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, before we officially look ahead, though, I do want to go back to the clubhouse last night. Tony Gwynn Jr. was down there.
Hell yeah.
Interviewing players. We heard a few of them already this morning. I thought one of the most interesting ones, the starting pitcher last night, Michael King, who got into that trouble in the first inning, had the unearned run already in, but locked it down, kept the Dodgers at just the one run, escaped a bases-loaded jam by striking out Mookie in the second inning. Got through five high-stress innings, a lot of pitches, but got through his five, qualified for the win, gave his team exactly what they needed, and has really been, you're never going to get Juan Soto-type value in a Juan Soto trade, but it's what the Padres needed.
Yeah, more than anything.
Over 170 innings, over 200 strikeouts, ace of the staff type stuff from Michael King. They don't get to the playoffs without him, I would say, at least not at this point. So here was Tony Gwynn Jr. last night in the clubhouse with Padres winning pitcher Michael King.
I'm with Michael King, the starting pitcher of tonight's ballgame. And listen, Mike, Jesse and I have watched up from the top. You've had some bad luck over the last four or five starts. And I think the saying goes something like out after error. How were you able to kind of refocus after the first error of this ballgame, and you were still struggling to kind of command your stuff at that point?
One of those games I didn't have anything upsetting because it was such a big game. There's Bogey. I trust in the spots of all. And so Bogey came up to me and apologized afterwards. I said, that's a dumb comment. You cannot be apologizing to me. I knew he was going to have a good game, and he obviously had the RBI. And it was really just a grind, putting up zeros and making sure that we kept the lead.
Now, I know this is a team event right now, but we're going to talk about you personally. I mean, first year as a full-time starter, you rolled through it and made it look quite easy. I mean, talk about what has helped you get to this point this season.
I think the leadership ahead of me, having Darvish and Joe there, Cease has been doing it for however many years, and then Ruben. Ruben's been my rock through it all. I mean, I learned so much throughout the season, and even today, I was like, I'll be more efficient, I promise. And he was like, no, this is not a game to be efficient. There he is right there. And he's like, it's not a game to be efficient. We got a full bullpen behind you. Just put up zeros and get out of there.
You were able to settle in, got through five innings of work. You handed it off to your bullpen, which has been phenomenal. And just when it started to look like it got rocky, it ended up going your way. A triple play to get you guys in here to party. Talk a little bit about that.
I mean, incredible. Suarez has been our guy the whole year. Obviously struggling a little right now.
Woo! Enjoy it.
But like, You knew he was going to make pitches. He's a big game pitcher. And then there's nobody in that spot that I wanted to go to more than Manny. And Manny, cool, calm, and collected, knew exactly what to do. Trip play is freaking cool.
Michael King, terrific season as a Padre. You got more work to do. I mean, you guys are going to have some fun here tonight, but there's still some unchecked boxes.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be playing on Halloween. That's our goal. So, and beyond, obviously.
Enjoy yourself, brother.
Thank you.
They can all dress up in costumes.
Is there
play
a game
Halloween.
On Halloween?
There'd be a World Series game on Halloween, yeah.
Sorry, kids.
So what did you think about what Michael King said about Xander Bogaerts apologizing to him after the first inning error?
Oh, man, I think...
And then King saying, that's stupid.
Yeah, I think it's great, and that's what a good team does. And if I...
There will not be a game on Halloween.
There won't be.
Is it off day?
Game 5 is Wednesday, October 30th.
Okay, good.
Game 6 is Friday, November 1st.
All right, kids. We're back on. Dad will
we
be there. I may be hungover, but I will be there.
We may be 3-2 in a series, yeah. In the World Series, but you will be able to
trick-or-treat. Thank God. I think it's great, man. And I don't think it's uncommon at all for a teammate to come over and say, that's my bad, dude. Sorry about that. Hey, don't worry about it. And the best pitchers are able to pick up their infielders and vice versa. Your best infielders are able to pick up your pitchers when they have an off day. You know, I mean, think about it. Think about how many times Michael King has given up a barrel and Donovan Solano makes a great catch on it, or Jurickson Profar makes a great catch on it. I mean, does Michael King go out to Jurickson and go, sorry, dude, sorry, that guy hit it so hard and you had to dive and make that play? No. It's a part of the game. Now, I was as frustrated as anybody with that throw from Xander Bogaerts, and I'd love him to dial it in a little bit more. Xander has been a big game player, and he's won World Series. So, like, the expectation for a Xander Bogaerts goes up because you've been in these big games. And this isn't even the World Series, man. So I think he needs to make that play. I want him to make that play. He wants to make that play. I like what he said after. The dude is as accountable as anybody. I don't know if you pulled that audio, Paulie, but Xander was like, they picked me up. They picked me up tonight. And
he said, I blew it. I blew it there. That was on me, first inning. I mean,
he certainly... He certainly came back and redeemed himself with a couple of big knocks. It's part of a team, man. Not everybody's going to play well every single night. And the ability to pick up your brother is something that's happened over and over and over and over with this team all year. And that's most special thing for me.
It is a good point. Because even the guys who had been hot, like Fernando Tatis Jr., who had the 11-game hitting streak going into the game. He took an 0-for last night, didn't he? Yeah, so his hitting streak comes to an end. Manny Machado, you know, has quietly cooled down a little bit. I think he struck out in, like, double-digit straight games. You know, he's not quite seeing it as well. He had that one that he took that was right.
It was killer AB.
On the corner.
Killer AB.
By the way, the ump scorecard came out last night for the game.
How was it?
Favored the Dodgers by over a run.
Oh,
it was it was heavily in favor of the Dodgers, and it was mostly on
color
those calls.
Me surprised.
It was mostly on the calls at the bottom of the zone that they were getting, and Padres pitchers were not.
Oh, like that big one to Shohei.
Yeah,
holy crap,
that was the biggest mistake of the game, according to the ump scorecard, was the 3-2 to Shohei that ticked the zone, didn't get the call. Manny's 3-2, ticked the zone, did get the call.
Well, you're not only playing against 9, you're playing against 4 more. So go out there and score more runs than them, and there's nothing anybody can do.
All right, speaking of Halloween, as we look forward to today's game, I know what your costume is going to be.
Mine?
You are going to dress up as a giant roach.
Oh, no, I'm going to be the Hawktua girl. I've already decided.
Have you already decided that? Everyone's going to be the Hawktua girl.
Yeah.
Polly, will you be a giant roach Halloween?
Will you also be the Hawktua girl?
Does everyone kissed it yet?
Here's, no, I have not yet.
You've got to kiss it. Kiss the rally
I don't like
roach.
Going third. I like going first.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to play sloppy
second hand,
either.
Third hand. So tonight, 6:10, EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Sammy Levitt, is he still going to be up there? Up there for the whole series?
Yeah,
he was there last night.
So. Yeah.
I assume he's still up there. And then 7:10 first pitch with Jesse and Tony. And it will be Dylan Cease on the mound against Jack Flaherty in game 2 of the series. And the Dodgers, obviously, they want to come back and get a little bit of quick revenge. They do not want to go to a game 3 knowing that their lead could disappear at the end of the series. So I expect them to come out as intense as they've been in any of these 12 games that they've now going to play in all season, 12 and 13 that are remaining. But Dylan Cease has been really good his last couple of starts. He's kind of been nasty, Dylan Cease. Very hard to score runs off of him. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm looking for those early home runs that Dylan tends to give up. That first inning is kind of where my focus is going to be set on. Can you get through those guys in the first inning without giving up a run? If they do, I expect a very low-scoring game. Now, Flaherty's been the Dodgers' best pitcher since they acquired him at the All-Star break or at the trade deadline. Padres have not faced him this year. They did rough him up last year, but that was last year's Jack Flaherty when he was with the Orioles.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, but this is a different version who's been really good this year.
It's going to be a battle, man, for sure. He's a good pitcher. They have a good lineup. I mean, nothing changes for tonight's game except the anxiety level, I think, will be a little bit down. The excitement for a big league ball game against two great teams is great. But yesterday I was a wreck. I kept looking at my watch going, do you realize that we still have 4 hours before this game starts? You know, I picked the kids up from school. It was like, yep, just 4 hours to go. And, but now, you know, you're in the playoffs. You'd love to win the division. You just love beating the Dodgers any chance you get. So you just expect them to come out and have a good game tonight. But, you know,
I mean, I was never worried that they were going to miss the playoffs.
No, but
this
it's
week,
just nice so. To get it over with, isn't it?
It is.
It's just nice to get it
but
done.
But I hope that they come back and play just like they did last night. Because I think winning the division would be an incredible advantage going into the postseason.
It would be.
Craig actually had a pretty good name for it. He called this week the fun playoffs. Because
it doesn't feel fun.
You've got the, well, his point was, you've got the reward. Like, if you win, you get a big prize. You get a division title, you get a bye, you get time off before you start the next round.
If you lose, you're not out of
it. If you lose, there's no penalty, really. Right. You're still going to the playoffs. You're still likely hosting the wild card. It's not like October when it's the playoffs where you have, the big reward's the World Series, but the punishment is, if you lose, you're out. It's done. Your season's over. This is a week where you've got the prize, but no bad consequences necessarily. So you've got the safety net of the playoffs coming up this week. But, I mean, there's a lot to play for in these final five games of the season for the Padres.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it, man. The fact that those guys also know that there's still a ton to play for. You haven't gotten the sense from this team all year that they go into coast mode or cruise mode, you know, and I think it'd be hard to argue against my point because think about how many times they've been down and come back, down and come back, down and come back. They've had some bad games, as everybody does in 162, but when I look at them, I never see quit from this team. I always see good ABs. You know, there's a couple of moments in games where, you know, I saw people getting a little upset last night that Brewster Graterol, I think he got out with a six-pitch inning. If Brewster Graterol is on the mound and I'm at the plate or anybody's at the plate, you better hack, dude. He's nasty. So if you get a heater you feel like you can handle, swing it. You may hit it right at somebody. But, you know, that's nitpicky as all get out, man. Just go up there and play the game you've played for 157 of these and don't change a thing. Don't change a thing.
Padres bullpen situation going into this game. So the hardest work was done actually last night by Jason Adam through 15 pitches. Robert Suarez is dicey as that ninth inning felt, only threw 12 pitches, thanks to a triple play. It's nice when you get three outs on one pitch. I'd imagine they're both available. Tanner Scott threw 11 pitches. I'm sure he's available to come back. Jeremiah Estrada threw one pitch, so I would certainly think he's ready. And Adrian Morejon threw 14 pitches. So I don't think anyone's not available tonight.
No.
We also have arrested Brian Hoeing, who has not been used and has been excellent if you need him in the bullpen, plus your back end guys. If you have to get a big, giant lead, you can obviously use some of your other guys in the pen.
Yeah, I think everyone's available. You know, it's
the
hard.
The only guy either side who's probably not available is Honeywell, who threw 28 pitches. But
Everybody, Brewster's ready. Yeah. The kid they brought in last
night. He threw 17. Major League debut. I'd probably expect him not to be used today, but it was probably the last two guys in their bullpen. So the Dodgers, good shape going into the game.
Yep.
Padres, pretty good shape going into this game.
Yeah.
Fairly full strength for both sides.
Yeah.
Both are Flaherty's right-hander, right? So we have the same lineup as yesterday. I wouldn't expect any changes unless, I mean, you want Elias Diaz. I mean, Higgy did get a hit, got that double late in the game. It was his first hit in like 13 at-bats or something. Was able to do that. I don't know if Diaz gets a start today or tomorrow. Probably starts one of the two games of the series. Could be either one. Might be a matchup situation. I don't know if he has a history with Flaherty or a history with Buehler that might influence that decision. But other than that, I expect the same lineup for the Padres tonight.
Yeah, no question. I don't think you're going to see any defensive changes. Guys getting time off their feet. Manny's not going to DH tonight or anything. In my
outside
I
chance, you know, Arise at first and Solano DH.
Maybe
just, you know, sometimes they do that and switch it up. But yeah, I would anticipate very few changes on the other side as well. The Dodgers pretty much have stuck with their lineup the last few games as well.
Might see Andy Pajas in there. Is he a lefty? Does he swing righty?
I
feel like he's hit righty.
I mean,
well. I don't know.
Is he even still on there? He's still
on
the roster?
Team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Edmund's been pretty good.
Yes.
I don't think that they're going to take him out of the line. He has 6 home runs since they got there.
Yep.
He's pretty valuable. So, yeah, I would be surprised if there are really any changes.
He's a righty, Pajas.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, we'll see what their lineup looks like. Don't really care. I'm confident about this team, and you know, again, you locked it up last night at their house. That feels good, certainly. But you'd love to win this series. You'd love to sweep this series, but you got to win tonight. You got to beat Jack Flaherty, who's a tough customer for sure. But and again, think about last night. Arise didn't really do anything. Toddy didn't really do anything.
0-for-8.
Manny
at the top
got one
of the
hit.
Lineup. Yep.
You know, Manny got one hit. So
Profar got one hit.
Yep. So I mean, hey. That's with our 4 best players getting 2 knocks out of...
Yeah, it's all really about Crony and Bogey in the 6-7 slots.
Yep.
Offensively for the Padres in that game yesterday. That was all 4 RBI, 2 of the 4 runs scored, 4 of their 8 hits all came from those 2 spots in the lineup.
So happy for Crony to get us the lead last night. I mean, the guy's been scuffling. He's out there every single day. Love Jake Cronenworth. You guys know that. And just what a huge night for him. Something about playing in L.A. against this team brings out the best in him. And I just keep that up. You know, keep it up and playing great defense as well. He saved our bacon defensively last night. So keep that
rolling. Line drive double play, yep. Obviously turning the triple play.
The throw to get Mookie at third, coming off the bag on the Higgy throwdown.
Yep.
Spectacular. Not an easy play. Momentum going the other way.
Jerickson's defense, can't say more about that and what he's done. Yeah, other than the Bogarts play, they were locked in.
I love this team, man. I believe in every single one of these guys to a man. So expecting a good one tonight.
All right, Annie and Elston getting ready to come in and give you their thoughts for the next 4 hours as the Padres try to move 1 game out of first place with a win tonight. Could possibly clinch home field advantage as well, although personally, I think the best outcome tonight is a Padres win, a Diamondbacks win, and a Mets win. Because my best scenario is the Padres clinch, and then the Diamondbacks clinch, and they have nothing to play for this weekend.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And the Braves lose and are out of it. So that's one thing to look at, and we'll talk about it tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Till then, for Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great one.